Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Okay, let's bring in Emily Giovalvi from the Washington Post to talk about Maryland. Emily, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Thanks so much for your time today. Great to have you with us on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Emily, there are a lot of emotions that have run through the Maryland football program over the last 6 months. In covering this, what have been the range of emotions, and what were the emotions after Saturday's game with Ohio State?
Yeah, it's really been wild. I feel like week after week, you kind of think they're not going to have anything left, and then somehow they still do. I think Saturday obviously was pretty devastating for the players, for the coaching staff, because they were able to hang with Ohio State, which I don't think many people expected. I know after the game, Matt Canada said that he felt pretty sure most people had written them off, and somehow they thought they could do it, and they nearly did. So I do think there could be a little bit of a letdown, but then again, I thought that last week when they barely lost Indiana, and they've been teetering on the brink of bowl eligibility for a few weeks now, and just haven't quite gotten it yet.
Tell us a little bit about Anthony McFarland. The redshirt freshman has stepped up with a couple of 200-yard rushing games, including 298 against Ohio State. What has made him a really good back for Matt Canada this year?
He's just so explosive, and I think that's the word that everyone uses to describe him. I think he's up to 21, maybe, carries of more than 25 yards, and just once he's able to get into space, he can beat defenders, he can break tackles, and he really has the ability to have those, like you saw on Saturday, the 75-yard touchdowns, 81-yard touchdowns. And he wasn't even the starter. Ty Johnson, a senior, has been out with an injury, and Anthony has been kind of stepping into that role, and he's just shown that he can do what he does against most defenses.
All right, let's get to Tyrone Pigram at quarterback. He got hurt, I think, in the Texas game last year. He had to step back in when Kaysom Hill got hurt. What do you like about him and how he handles Matt's offense?
Yeah, he's really shown, I think one of the surprising things is that he's pretty accurate with deep passes. He had a few really nice ones in the game on Saturday, and I saw a few nice ones in practice, which is a completely different world, but still,
sure.
You know, there are times of just completely missing receivers, though, and it was the same with Kaysom Hill. I really think the quarterback situation is bringing down Maryland's offense in general this year. But Pigram did show that he can step in, and he can continue to lead this team. I think him and Kaysom were probably fairly equal. I don't think it was a big drop off for the backup, but he proved he can handle a big situation on Saturday and just ultimately came up short on that last pass.
What about those short to medium range passes? I mean, does he have enough? Is he accurate enough in that area where he can make a difference, or is it really the deep ball where he excels?
Yeah, I think the short and medium is where he struggles more. At least seeing his first full game on Saturday,
right.
he had nice deep balls, but a few of those short ones that you think you've got to get, that it's just, you know, way over a receiver's head, like not even giving a receiver a chance to try to make a play, but just completely missing. He had a couple moments though where he threw the ball away, which was good to see, but he also got sacked multiple times and a few times bringing Maryland out of field goal range and kind of hurting them as they had driven down the field. But he had a good day. He kept them in the game. He could have won it for them, but he didn't necessarily do anything to win that game. Anthony McFarland was more that guy, but he kept them in a game against a top opponent.
All right, I want to talk about the defense for a moment. It's interesting about them in that their stop rate, where a drive ends with no points, is right around 63-64%. That's okay. But when you look at the takeaways, and the Maryland's like a, I want to say Maryland's a +8 right now, giveaway, takeaway. What kind of ball-hawking defense has this become, and what kind of difference has the transfer from Illinois, Trey Watson, meant to them?
Yeah, Trey Watson, that's the name that anytime you want to mention Maryland's defense, that's the name that's going to come up. And like you mentioned with the takeaways, Maryland in the turnover margin in general had been incredible, and then they lost 4 2 weeks ago in Indiana, which brought down that margin. But Trey Watson has 5 interceptions on the year. He could have had another one against Ohio State. And there's, I mean, it's not just him. It's all sorts of different players are just getting to the ball. And then you saw in the Ohio State game, Ohio State was right down by the goal line, and then Maryland was able to recover a fumble. So it's in those situations where I'm up in the press box thinking, like, well, they're going to score anyway, so, you know, it's going to happen. And the defense doesn't let it. And that's been impressive. The defense really struggled last year. I think they were one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, just in points allowed and in most statistical measures. And they say they're playing much more assignment-sound football and not just kind of going out there individually doing their thing, but are really, really adhering to assignments. And I think that's showing with the takeaways.
Yeah, the last 4 drives Ohio State had, they scored touchdowns. Now, obviously, Ohio State has plenty of talent on that side of the ball. It's not like J.K. Dobbins didn't have a 200-yard rushing game. He did. But they didn't get stops either. So how much of an issue has that been for the Maryland defense, the fact that their stop rate percentage is good, not great?
Yeah, I think that has been an issue, that they're giving up pretty big plays. And a lot of times you see it on a 3rd and 6 or a few 4th downs. I mean, Ohio State went for a 4th down in overtime, and it was 4th and inches, but that's big. You know, a defense would ideally be able to prevent that. And I think, I want to say it was the Iowa game in the red zone, Maryland would have a few really great 3rd down stops, but then they couldn't stop it on 4th down if the team would go for it. So I think it's a consistency issue where they'll look good on a few plays and then have a few where they just give up a long pass or a long run or miss a few tackles. But I think it's consistency. I think they just aren't on for 3 straight plays usually.
In the worst of circumstances, Matt Canada has had to step in and run this show and keep it stable for them along the way. What kind of job has he done to keep Maryland football stable, to keep them focused, and to get them into the spot they're in right now?
Yeah, I really think he deserves a lot of credit. He was new in January and obviously thought he was going to come in and call plays, and that was it. And then suddenly becomes a head coach for the first time in his career and has handled it really well. And I think, you know, he's really on the edge of almost securing a job here, it seems like.
Right.
I thought if they had be in Indiana, he might have done it. And then as I'm watching that game on Saturday, I'm thinking, well, he's about to get a job. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, wins and losses do matter maybe more than they should. You know, one play away from this win, is that one play really enough to say someone should get this job or not? I don't know, but that's how college football interprets things. But I think he has proven that he can handle an incredibly difficult circumstance. He's been calm and cool to us in the media, which is all we see, but I do think that speaks for something. He's always been professional, and the way I describe it to people is if he doesn't get the job here, I think he's going to be a head coach somewhere, because I think he's proven he can do it.
I mean, are they keeping Emily everything close to the vest on this, just to see how it plays out in the end? Because I don't think you could. There's no handbook to handle what Matt Canada's had to handle. You just can't call up other people, say, hey, when you went through this, how did you handle it? He's really had to make it up on his own along the way. I know they're close to the vest about it, but can you see them picking anybody else except him because of, under the worst circumstances, he's done what he's done?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's earned the respect of the players. He's earned the respect of the fan base. He's, you know, who could better lead this team next year after someone who was there when a player died and went through that grieving process with them. And for the same reason, maybe they do just want to completely clean house, even though none of the assistants were mentioned in any of these reports. But I do think the way he's, you know, I was just rewatching the Ohio State game earlier today, and to open the broadcast, they said nobody would have thought twice if this team won 2 games. And I think that's true. You know, everyone just would have said, of course, you know, who can blame them? Like, you win 2 games and get out of this year and try to start rebuilding. But instead, you know, this is a team that could nearly go to a bowl game, obviously just has one more chance, almost beat Ohio State. I think almost everyone in the country was watching that game, and this is Maryland. And I think he really has just continued to put the focus on the players, and I kind of have joked and started calling them like the player rant, because almost in every great win, every bad loss, he goes on these tangents in a press conference just talking about how incredible the players are and how much credit they deserve. And I think, you know, maybe some people find that cliche, but that's the type of persona you have to have in this situation.
Yeah, but he's right. But he's right about that, though. I mean, look, you know, you're talking about 18 to 20 year old people. You bond in a locker room, and all of a sudden, somebody's not there anymore. I mean, it's to me, it's not cliche. I mean, I think it's shown a lot of the incredible backbone the young players have, the leadership that Matt's given, but also the backbone that the players have had to somehow persevere through this.
Yeah, and I think, you know, almost every human has gone through significant loss, and you know, you think back to how you might have felt in that time, and then on top of that, these players are going through that under a national spotlight and controversy. And at the end of the day, everyone had their opinions on whether DJ Durkin should have been held accountable for that, or should it have been the medical staff, or who it should have been. But at the end of the day, everyone should be able to agree that the players did nothing wrong here. All the players did was lose a teammate, and yes, somehow they've been able to come out and win five games and almost win a couple more. And it really, I do think it's fair to take a step back and say what these players have done is impressive, and what Matt Canada has done is impressive, to be able to hold this together when he might not have even known the names of all the defensive players in March, you know? So it's been a wild year. They seem to have handled it well.
Yeah, because I said with the Urban Meyer situation with Ryan Day, and I said the Maryland situation with Matt Canada, is he took coordinators that were brand new. Day had been there a year. Mm-hmm. But you end up being, quote, the least culpable on the staff.
Right.
And so they went in that direction, which then brings me to how Maryland has handled this so far. It seems like some parts they've handled well, and then it's really obvious what they didn't handle well.
Yeah, and I think when I think about it from a recruiting standpoint, I think one of the, other than the complete neglect and caring for an injured player that ultimately led to his death, or not injured, but a player who collapsed, that's the biggest red flag. But I think right there under it is the fact that there was complete dysfunction through the way everything had been handled. It was very reactionary. It was always based on reports, media reports, and when things would come out. And that's, you know, it's the ESPN report is what led to Durkin being placed on leave. And it's all been reactionary. And then you have that finale of the Board of Regents saying that Durkin should be reinstated after President Wallace Loh said he didn't think he should, but then them having to keep Durkin, and then you see the outcry, and then you see, again, reactionary, just complete chaos. So you see a program that's just been completely dysfunctional to go along with the incredible loss.
Emily, an absolute pleasure. Thanks so much for the time you gave us. I hope to see you on Saturday here.
All right, thank you.
Emily Giovalvo from the Washington Post. We'll come back, talk more about Penn State football and about the seniors in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
SMC is where you want to be for your next new F-150, and everything starting with E. Make 2018 a November to remember with savings up to $13,000 on your next new Ford F-150. Sunbury Motors has F-150s starting at $25,669. All SUVs with the letter E will plummet in price for SMC's November to remember. 67 Ford Escapes, 23 Echo Sports, 22 Explorers, all at one location. Brand new Ford Escapes starting at an unheard of $17,820. If you haven't looked into the all-new Ford EcoSport, now is the time. 2019 Ford EcoSports start at $19,880. SMC has the SUV that started it all, the Ford Explorer, for under $32,000. Hurry in now to SMC so you can show off your brand new Ford at your holiday dinner or to the buddies at Deer Camp. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
You should see at the holiday party when the suit bangs this out, getting in front of everybody.
What are you laughing about?
Actually, down there with Cancun Challenge coming out of commercial break last night, it showed this guy on this, looks like it was a bridge between two pools, and he was playing a saxophone.
Oh, was he?
I don't know. I don't know if you encountered that guy tonight or if that's
I've been last over that bridge. I've been over that bridge, but I haven't seen him.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Yeah.
You know. Again, part of this has been like people are like, hey, you're like, you know. I mean, Sean, you know how much I've been working here.
You have been working. To your credit, you have been absolutely nailing it. You have been getting done what you need to get done, and tip the cap to you, sir.
I mean, have I been able to get out? I was able to go in the lagoon yesterday, which was nice. Obviously, I've been able to eat very well here. I mean, the breakfast has been great. Dinner, we're going to go to a French restaurant tonight before the game. That I've enjoyed that. I went for a mile walk yesterday around the property, which was nice. But I literally, there's no way I could have walked a mile today. There's no way. Not because of fatigue or anything, because I went down to I went out for breakfast and I had to print my charts out. I went down to there's this area about maybe 150 feet from my room where you can go in. It's enclosed. You can just sit there and just enjoy the ocean. I went there for 5 minutes earlier today. I went there for 5 minutes this afternoon. That's because there's so much stuff I had to get done today. I mean, it's just this, just the way it is. I mean, if I don't get it done, you know, it's not like, oh, I can't enjoy Thanksgiving. I'm traveling all day Thanksgiving. But I'll really be able to enjoy, to be honest with you, Friday, and I'll really be able to enjoy Saturday, and I'll really be able to enjoy Sunday. I mean, really, because I've got all this stuff done. Then I go back to teaching on Monday, but because I wrote a script today, it's going to make everything easier to do. You know how it goes. There's a domino effect when you've got a series of things to do, so... And believe me, I love my work, so it's not a question of that. It's just I have not been able to get out. If they had a golf course here, which the resort next to us does, I would have played golf. I would have found a way to get out like at 6 a.m., get out there, play some golf, whatever. They don't. And a lot of pools here, and I love the pools. And I love sitting at this area and just enjoying the waves crashing up against the rocks. Water is beautiful here. Like I said, I went in the lagoon yesterday. Fishing the lagoon. It's really cool. Yeah, it's really, really nice.
Well, hopefully you'll have one more chance to get to that.
Well, the restaurants are outstanding here, too. Yeah, I mean, we ate a Toro last time. We're going to eat at a French restaurant tonight.
Yeah, hopefully you'll be able to get to that little secure spot that you enjoyed for just a minute or two. Hopefully you'll be able to do that one or two more times before your meal tomorrow and before you get on the plane.
Tomorrow I might go in the lagoon tomorrow morning. Yeah. You know, just take a swim in there for a while. I wanted to rent a kayak, but I couldn't do it because of time. Because I enjoy that. I enjoy getting kayaks and going out. You know, there's an area on Cape Cod, Swan River, which winds its way from Swan Pond all the way down to the Atlantic Ocean. And I love taking it out into the ocean. And, you know, then, of course, I show Kathy the pictures, and I get, what are you doing out there? Oh, for God. I said, I'm trying not to get stuck on sandbars. It's really shallow. Okay. It's all right. It's okay. That's one thing I am not. You know, I am no daredevil. So I am no daredevil. So if I think it's safe for me to kayak out into the Atlantic Ocean, I have no problem. Now, would I kayak into the Gulf of Mexico here? No, that definitely would not. Now, in the lagoon, you can kayak in the lagoon. I would do that. I'd enjoy doing that. It's great exercise. It's fun. I always enjoy that. My daughter Megan and I have done that a few times before. My son Mike and I have done that before. But, you know, let's go to the other side of the rocks. No, I would not do that in a million years. It's no way. It's not my bad. I mean, because my first thought is I do it in such a way where I'd be like, you know, the rocks and I would meet each other. So that's not going to happen. All right, tonight's 8 o'clock will be the airtime and 8:30 the tip off. Allegedly 8:30 is the tip off. I kept checking the monitor last night in the first game. Like, will you just move here? The game's over. I mean, it was 17 seconds to go last night. Bradley's up by, I don't know,
13 points. And they're checking the monitor. Dick and I are like, what are you doing? Get out of there. It's like the game's over.
Just have to get a fight.
For what reason? All right, final half hour. We'll talk about the Penn State seniors and the tributes.
I don't think so.
It's all brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I'll get to the Penn State seniors in a moment. Just, again, I want to make sure everyone's aware of the possibility of snow squalls out there this afternoon. That's something that, look, you're driving along, you're on 80, you're on 180, you're on 15, whatever it may be, 192, 45, and you think everything's perfectly fine, and all of a sudden this thing whips up, and all of a sudden you have no visibility at all. And that becomes, obviously, incredibly problematic. Are we cutting out there?
No, you sound great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's a matter of opinion. But
no, it's been an awesome 3 days. Been great.
Yeah. So let me get into just to that, then I'll quickly get into the seniors. This one, because Sean and I want to keep everybody up to date, because the most important thing to us is keeping you safe. So the snow squalls have been hitting between mile markers 97 and 215 on I-80. That's the Dubois to Danville exits. I-99 from 82 to 85, so it's up near Bellefonte. 180 from mile markers 1 to 29. So, again, if they get through, some of these are winds up to 35 miles an hour with the snow squall, which then takes visibility and drops it to less than a quarter mile, which becomes a big problem for you. So just be aware of that, all right? I know at State College, for example, they say it's there may be one rolling through there at about 25 minutes. And these are moving at such a pace. I just don't want somebody driving along, going along the interstate, and suddenly saying, whoa, what's that? And I just want you to be aware that it is something you should be aware of. All right, let's get to the seniors on Saturday. And I'll take the list here and go through it. Let's start with Mark Allen. Mark Allen's a running back who came here. He did not have a lot of accolades, but they really liked what they saw in him. And you could see that when he played, his ability as a receiver and also his ability as a running back. He is the guy that could hit the hole, did so fearlessly. He was fearless as he ran. Now, he got hurt this year, obviously, and hasn't been able to play the second half of the season. I think he was poised to have a very good season in an important role behind Miles Sanders. He really progressed over his 5 years, a lot. He already has his degree, and the one thing you'll notice about Mark Allen when you talk to him is that he loves to talk. I always kid him. I said, you know, you talk more than I do, and that's my job. And we get a kick out of laugh out of that. Koa Farmer. Koa Farmer obviously has received his fair share of criticism out there, especially from people who want Micah Parsons to be playing. And there's no doubt that Mike has really come on, and Mike is playing terrific football. There's no getting around it. Koa Farmer came here in his recruiting visit when it was below zero with his family, his parents. I think his mom's doing something at Hampton University now. And his mom is on him all the time about making sure he gets all of his degrees, plural. Degrees, plural. Koa came from California. Gets recruited that cold night and says, I'm coming to Penn State. Awesome. He obviously did a great job returning kicks. He had a big game. You know, in fact, I thought from the Maryland game to the end of the season, Koa had a really, really good 2016 season. From the Maryland game on, I thought, wow, he's really playing well. Last year, he had moments where he played like that, especially the Ohio State game in Columbus. He made a couple of big plays in that game. And he's also coming off his best game of the season this past weekend at Rutgers. And Koa's done a lot here, and he's meant a lot to what's been going on here at Penn State. Let's see. Jonathan Thomas. I'm going to skip Imani, Nick, and Trace to the end. Jonathan Thomas out of Peabody, Massachusetts. Hard, tough running back. What's derailed him have been injuries. He has not won. He already has one degree, and he's getting a second degree in December. And he scored his first career touchdown this year. He had that big 94-yard kickoff return that set up a touchdown. He actually scored. He did not step out of bounds, which was fabulous. And then on that fourth down play, they snapped it to him in the Iowa game, or excuse me, the Wisconsin game. The Wisconsin game, they got a first down. Huge play. He has been great on special teams. He's also been incredible in the locker room. As I mentioned, he's got one working on a second degree. DeAndre Tompkins, also working on a second degree. Tompkins came here. He was in one of the transition modes where Bill O'Brien had recruited him. He was out of North Carolina. James was able to keep him on board. He came here. He was an early enrollee. Came here, and the only thing, he kept getting little things here and there that kept him from getting into the lineup. But once he got into the lineup, he's returned two punts for touchdowns, including a 39-yarder this year against Pitt. He had the big 70-yard touchdown catch at Michigan State a year ago. He had that incredible catch against Ohio State when he outfought Denzel Ward for the ball in Columbus. Tompkins is a great guy to sit down and talk to. He is a psychology major. He has a degree in it. And he's now going after a second degree. And he is just a terrific guy to talk to. Chaz Wright, a.k.a. Big Bacon, already has his degree in telecommunications. Already has it. He also was an early enrollee. Took him a little while to find his gear here. They played him a little bit at guard. Mostly, of course, played him at tackle. They're trying to get more size in the offensive line when they put him at guard because they thought he moved well enough to do it. When it comes to pure run blocking, he's really good. Right now, and he's a very good pass blocker unless he gets one of those absolute speed rush guys where now he's got to get out there. But I think he's somebody who's made great contributions here, and Penn State doesn't get to the Rose Bowl without what he did in 2016. Jay Cooper came here with great promise out of Archbishop Wood. His problem is he's just – every time he's about to break through, he'd get banged up in some way. Every time. His freshman season, he was going to sit out. They brought him to Philadelphia. Then Brandon Bell and Jason Cabinda both got hurt in the Temple game. Suddenly Coop's out there playing. He knows how to play. I mean, you watch him. He knows how to draw the proper depth of a drop on a pass play. He's good at diagnosing the run. The only thing that's kept him has been those nagging things that have kept him out of the lineup. And you want to talk about as nice a guy as there is on the planet, it's him. And you know what? He's thinking about MMA. Told me. He told me he's thinking about MMA. Jason Rannick, a.k.a. Darko. All right? He is a big Buffalo Bills fan. He's up there from Lackawanna County in New York. Had been a JC player, walked on here, has really been a terrific scout linebacker. I mean, not just good, a terrific scout linebacker. Fun to talk to. He's a guy that I think throws his heart and soul into it, loves the university, and he's graduating. Charlie Schumann. Schumann has a heart as big as his body. We all know that he's danced and thon in each of the last 2 years. And he says if prodded, he probably will do it one more time this year. Like Cooper, I thought Cooper got better as time went. I thought Vranick got good better as time went. So did Schumann. Charlie Schumann did some really good things in practice the last couple of years, especially this year. Now, is it enough to get him on the field in a game? No, but he got better as a player. Well, as a person, philanthropy for him goes all the way back to high school. He started a charity in a high school, which he set up. He organized. He had some help from his father, especially, and some from his mother,
to make this happen because he wanted to help other people besides himself. And he's been remarkable in that way. I mean, again, one of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet is Charlie Schumann. Sterling Jenkins is the same way. Big man, came here as a highly heralded. You can just see on the pure size, I mean, how big Sterling is, arm length and so forth. But there's one thing about him that works really well as a person and is going to make him highly, highly successful that doesn't work really well for him in football. And it's not arm length and footwork. Sterling Jenkins is just a flat-out nice guy. Well, in life, that works really great. Like Charlie Schumann, that gentle giant feel. Except when it comes to playing in football, you got to have that little streak in you where you can just like, you know. And that's always been, I think, for him, the issue is he's tried to summon that up. He's never been able to do that because it's not his personality. But he is a terrific guy. You'd love talking with him. Donnell Dix, I think he's LeVar Arrington's nephew, I believe. Donnell Dix is undersized, came here as a walk-on, many, many times on scout team, played out of position, and never uttered a word about it because that's what the team needed him to do. That's Donnell Dix. Again, played out, you know, so many times he was forced to play out of position. We're on tape, you know, you're playing out of position. I mean, are you going to come out great on tape when you're playing out of position? Not usually, but he knew the team needed him there, and he always did it, and he never complained. Kyle Vasey. Kyle Vasey, the only time you've noticed him in the last couple of years is that one snap against Iowa. All the other snaps on extra points, field goals, punts have all been absolutely on the money and on time. Increased his speed. He gets down the field now when the ball's punted. And again, the same story. You talk with him, he always has a smile on his face when you see him. Let's see. Joe Arcangelo. Joe Arcangelo has roots out of Scranton. His family, all Penn Staters across the board. He actually started his career for Joe Susan at Bucknell. He told me how much he really enjoyed the experience and how much he really enjoyed playing for Coach Susan, but his heart was always that I want to go to Penn State. So he came here to Penn State at a time where Penn State had several guys out during spring practice. The only tight end they had was Mike Gesicki, so they needed another tight end out there just to run plays and take the pressure off Gesicki where he didn't have to run every single play in a practice during the course of the spring. And all of a sudden you're like, who the heck is 41? I mean, and like, boy, he can block, he can play. Again, another guy that knows how to play, and Joe has been absolutely invaluable on scout teams. You know, and these guys like Franek and Schumann, guys like that can get into a game here and there. And he told Joe Arcangelo got into a game, and he told me, he says, it's the greatest experience of his life. They could get on Beaver Stadium and play a couple plays. Frank DeLeo, out of Illinois, family owns a restaurant. Stunningly, it's an Italian restaurant. I know you're shocked by that. And, you know, they make a wide variety of meals, and they make pizzas. And Frank's done everything. He's helped out with the business end of it. He's helped out with the service end of it. He's helped out at the front register. He's helped out with deliveries. He's done everything. He is as well-rounded a guy as you're going to meet, and he's going to be highly successful in any business. He's got the mind for it, and he's got the personality for it. Same story with him. They took him out to Illinois, which was great. He got into the game, and that meant a lot to him. And also playing at Beaver Stadium meant a lot to him as well. Tyler Shoup. First time I ever met Tyler Shoup was on Thanksgiving Day 2014. It was Bob Shoup's first season here as the defensive coordinator, but his family had stayed down in Nashville to finish out Tyler's high school season. Tyler ends up walking on here, and ironically, then his dad leaves to take the Tennessee job. Tyler stayed. Tyler Shoup is smart, articulate. He is a precise route runner on that scout team. He's a guy that's reliable. I think I've only seen him drop one ball in 3 years, and is just a terrific guy. Zach Simpson out of Hollidaysburg. Simpson is a guy that is a backup center, and you know what? If something were to happen, he'd do a heck of a job out there because when he's played very well. And you've seen Zach
You see his number 64. You see him on the punt team, and you've seen him sometimes on the kickoff return team. He is reliable, dependable, hard worker, and somebody that makes a real contribution every single day. And if something were to happen, he'd play and he'd be just fine out there. Christopher Weldy, number 31, is a wide receiver. Weldy may not be big in stature, but he is a guy that's a hard worker off the field, and he's really good on the field. He's the kind of guy that goes out there and is one of those max effort guys every single play. He takes being on the scout team seriously. It means something to him. He loves to hear Brent Pry say the words reload. Because you know what reload means? It means, guess what? The scout team just beat us. We better, let's see this again. And Weldy usually is a big reason why that happens. Torrence Brown was playing the best football of his career when he got hurt last year. He was playing at a really high level. Scored that touchdown at Indiana a couple of years ago. That was big. Really was coming on and playing terrific football. He's been around helping out this year, and it's been great to have him around. Out of Alabama, and just a terrific contribution he made to this program. And that's the unfortunate part about him getting hurt last year, because I thought he had now taken that big step forward, and it really started to go to a new level for him. Ryan Buchholz. Boy, Buchholz lost last year. I think we've gone over and over again what it meant, because the domino of it affected Penn State, because he was playing at a very high level at the defensive end spot, and they also had that four defensive end package, which they now use with Yetur Gross-Matos flipping inside. Buchholz was good enough, even though he gave away size and he gave away weight, he was good enough to play that defensive tackle spot in that four defensive end package. He was a heck of a player. And again, that's another guy who gets banged up, can't make it back, and that's one of those setbacks on the team. He's been helping out this year as well. We'll talk about Imani, Nick, and Trace as we close out on News Radio 1070 WKOK. I think I hear that in every restaurant down here.
Little sweaty Teddy. Cat scratch fever. Yes.
Exactly right.
Uncle Ted.
All right. Very quickly now, Imani Oyewere is going to be a pro. He was one of those guys that was recruited by James to Vanderbilt. Then, of course, you know, there was that period of time where he couldn't talk to him when he was taking the Penn State job. And then when James got back down to Tampa, the recruit him, he came in here. His parents are big believers in education. He comes out here with athleticism, instinct, and length. He has changed the corner position here at Penn State. You know, every once in a while, do you have a game and they go, oh, okay. But most of his games have been outstanding. 8 career interceptions and a guy that really knows how to play the position. Nick Scott. Nick Scott will tell you there are 26 reasons why he moved over to safety. But here's a guy that has caught a touchdown pass, run for a touchdown, thrown a touchdown pass, and had an interception and blocked a kick in his career. He's played his best football here at Penn State in the last 5-6 weeks. And you know what? He'll play more snaps than anybody, and he never fatigues. He never seems like he's tired. He's an indefatigable guy. Unbelievable. And he's playing, again, the last 6 weeks, he's played his best football. He's been outstanding. 3 picks over that span. Terrific. And you know what? Like Imani, if he doesn't go into it, Imani wanted to do an internship last summer at Madison Square Garden. It didn't quite work out because he wants to get into that field eventually, you know, in terms of event management. Nick is going to be a success in anything he does. You want to talk about a personality who just flat out gets it? He does. Then there's Trace. We've talked a lot about Trace McSorley, but you know what? You know, the 101 touchdowns accounted for the 30 wins. Guess what all 30 wins have in common? He's the starting quarterback. That's the whole thing. That's what the common thread is. Okay? He's been the starter in all 30 of them. Right? He's the common thread. And you know what? Trace McSorley is confidence without a trace, excuse the pun, of arrogance. Confidence, no arrogance. Hey, Troy, by the way, texted the show about the 4-1 Lady Lion basketball start. Really good start. Having Tania Page back completely healthy, great, Troy. Amari Carter, really good. They're going to get still a stiff test from other teams that have a bigger inside presence. But I think Coquiso has a top 20 recruiting class coming in next season now has them poised to make that turn. I think it's going to be an interesting year for the Lady Lions. So, Troy, I wanted to answer your question because you did text it in. Thank you very much. Sean's the best. Nobody deserves a better Thanksgiving than him, and nobody's more thankful for him than I am, because without him, he is the engine that makes the show go. No getting around it. I just reap the benefits of his hard work all the time. To all of you, please be safe during this holiday. I want you to enjoy it. I'm sure everybody during the course of the past year has had their ups and downs. Celebrate the great moments that you've had and take a look around the table and appreciate everybody that you have at that table. I always appreciate everything you have. We will talk to you Friday. The King is here with picks.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.